Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
In the grace of God, we have come to the last calendar day of the year 2019, and if God permits, we will come again to the radio microphone the next time in the new year, in the year 2020. Whenever we come to the end of a year successfully, I'm always reminded of that childhood song that we used to sing in Sunday school week by week, when we would sing, "Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way." And I think about that when I want to say, "Safely through another year, God has brought us on our way." We should never take that for granted. And there have been years in my life when I did not expect to make it to the end of the year, and God, in His goodness, brought me safely through. And probably many of you can testify to something similar. But whether we're aware of it or not, we don't know how many dangers we face and how many calamities we would have experienced if God had not intervened. He sends His guardian angels to take care of His children and to fulfill His purposes for them. And we are invincible, truly invincible in this world until God is ready to take us home. And when He is, then there's nothing that can keep us here another day longer. But at any rate, here we are at the end of another year. Thank you, Lord, for that great blessing. And if God should choose to give us yet another year, what will I do with the next 365 days? What will you do with the next 365 days? Will I accomplish more for the kingdom of Christ over the next year than I have in the last? And if so, how will that happen? Because it probably won't happen accidentally. It probably will happen if I think about some things that I can intentionally do to increase my service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, at any rate, thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, December 31. Thank you for remembering our need of help financially to keep this broadcast on the air. And it's still 2019. You could still write a check and send it off and help us before this year is over, or at least you could send your help before the year is over, and that would be a wonderful blessing indeed. Well, back to Malachi chapter 3. As you know, we are looking at the list of offenses for which God is bringing judgment upon His people Israel. We find it in Malachi 3:5, "And I will come near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts." We are given the reason why the people of Israel were committing these sins. It's the last statement of this verse, "because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts." And as a matter of fact, that's why people in America today commit many of these sins, is because they do not fear God. That's why people in churches, professing Christians, commit these sins, is because they don't really fear God. That's why Some of you may be involved in some of these sins is because you don't have a healthy fear of God. May God cultivate such a fear within us, a true godly fear of the living, eternal, almighty Creator of heaven and earth, who rules upon His throne, who sent His Son to save sinners who will trust in Him, but who is the judge of all the earth, before whom we must all give an account. What again are the sins that He brought judgment upon Israel for, as listed here? Sorcerers, we've already dealt with that. Adulterers, we addressed that on the broadcast yesterday, but I did not mention one thing, and that is, adultery is one of 16 capital offenses in the Old Testament, in the nation of Israel. Sorcery is also another one. Fortune tellers. God said that those who practice that should not be permitted to live. But here's what He said about adultery. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10, the man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's pretty astonishing, particularly seems astonishing to many ears in modern America today. That's why some people conclude that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament, but I assure you that that is not the case. Now, the God of the New Testament is not requiring that adulterers and adulteresses truly be put to death. Jesus Himself taught a different approach when the woman was brought to Him who had been taken in adultery, and they demanded that He approve the law of Moses in stoning her. And Jesus so wisely, as you know, stooped down and wrote in the dust, and after He had said, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." He didn't disapprove of the penalty under Moses, but He just challenged the person who was without sin to carry it out, and then wrote in the dust, and there's been a lot of speculation as to what He wrote in the dust, but some have speculated that what He wrote in the dust were the names of partners in adultery that were connected to the men who were in front of Him demanding the death penalty for this woman taken in adultery. That's certainly a possibility. We don't know what He wrote in the dust, but that's one possibility. That will take the wind out of your sails. It's amazing how many times people can be so indignant about the sins of others when they themselves are actually engaged in the same sins. And when that is uncovered, we all respond to the hypocrisy of it. We don't all respond in the same way, but we all take note of the utter hypocrisy of it. Here's a congressman who has been publicly declaring in the chambers of the House that homosexual activity ought to be outlawed, that we ought to retain the laws, that they used to be outlawed, of course. We ought to retain the laws against homosexual activity, and lo and behold, in the passing of some time, it's uncovered that he is involved in homosexual relationships. I mean, utter hypocrisy. You say, how can people be like that? We're all like that in our Adamic sinfulness. We are all hypocrites in our Adamic sinfulness. It's only the grace of God that begins to change that in our lives. The grace of God, which justifies us before the judgment bar of God, covers us in the blood of Christ to wash away our sins, robes us in the righteousness of Christ. Oh, what wonderful blessings we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts to begin to change our thinking, to change our attitudes, to begin to show us our sinfulness, our hypocrisy, our double standards and so many other things about us, and begin to clean up some of this hypocrisy, and we await heaven before it will all be cleared up. But we act so indignant when we see it in somebody else, and so many times it is we ourselves who are just as guilty, or if not as guilty of that, are guilty of something else equally bad or worse. But yes, back to the point at hand. In the Old Testament, adulterers and adulteresses were commanded to be put to death. Now, it's not clear to me, as I read the Old Testament scriptures, that this was carried out very often. Think of David, who was clearly guilty of adultery, and yet that penalty was not applied to him. And you can find other examples in the Old Testament. So what do we make of that? I don't know, but I don't have time to expand upon it right now. But the truth of the matter is that this is a serious sin in the sight of God. It is one of the 16 sins that were listed under the category of capital punishment in the Old Testament. That's how seriously God takes adultery. And God does not take it any more lightly today. It's not like God has said, oh, I've changed my mind. I've lightened up a bit. I don't feel so strongly about it anymore. It's not that at all. It's just that the same penalty is not applied, but the same offense against Almighty God is just as offensive, it's just as wicked in the eyes of God. It deserves the death penalty, even if it isn't applied, and the truth of the matter is, it was applied even to Christians because our death penalty was incurred by Jesus Christ. He bore the death penalty in our place. But the next time you start toying with sexual immorality, just remember that this is an exceedingly sinful offense to God. That according to Mosaic law, those who do this ought to be stoned. We're all aware, I'm sure, of a particular member of the U.S. House of Representatives who is a Muslim. There's a couple of them, but one of them who is a Muslim, who is trying to promote Muslim causes and wants people to think that she is a sincere and faithful practicing Muslim, and yet it becomes more, as more and more information comes out, we find out that she is an adulteress. She has had probably more than one sexual partner to whom she was not legally married. And the question is, and under Muslim law, which is the same as the Old Testament law in this regard, under Muslim law, those who are guilty of such things are supposed to be killed, supposed to be stoned. What do we make of that? Well, we see the utter hypocrisy of it. Here she is, lauding Islamic religion, and yet flaunting Islamic religious law, and would be horrified if anyone thought she ought to incur the penalty that her own religion that she's trying to exalt were carried out in her case. Well, we'll have to come back to this, Lord willing, tomorrow. So I'll see you in the new year. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.